Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 23, Creative Writing, Part 3.
The Goethe piece comes from an anthology that I compiled for my 7th grade class called Wish, Wonder, and Surprise. It brings together from a variety of sources poems, aphorisms, snippets of prose that exemplify or speak to in one way or another those three soul states. And the idea for doing this, and by the way, it's published now by Rudolf Steiner College Press in Fair Oaks, California, so you can get it. I got the idea for that from a former professor of mine, Kenneth Koch, who had taught English at Columbia University for many years. He was himself a poet, almost won the National Book Award, wonderful humorous poet, not that common anymore, anywhere, especially in the United States. And he did work with children. He went into the New York City public school system, one of the very first professors ever to do this sort of thing, and worked with grade school children in poetry workshops. And he would share with them great works of poetry. I don't know if they had to memorize them and recite them. Probably not. That's a very Waldorf thing to do. But in any case, he asked them then to be inspired by these pieces and start there and then write their own poems. So his book, which is called Rose, Where Did You Get That Red?, is a classic of teaching poetry, and I found it very inspiring for this particular block, though it's totally age inappropriate. Intellectual that he was teaching third graders, seventh grade material, but you can figure that one out for yourself. So let me give you some examples of the sorts of things that are there, and also the way I had students respond. Now, this is not all that they did. This is just sort of to break the ice, to get the ball rolling, as we say. But rather, they would start here and then they would write maybe a longer poem or a prose piece about this particular state of soul. And it really helped them get a feeling. What is a wish? That's almost the hardest one of all, because we are in a culture that's nothing but wishes. You know, when you wish upon a star and so on, the great consumer anthem of Disney World. Children are always being told to make wishes, you know, their birthdays, and it's usually about material things, right? And then, of course, we as Waldorf teachers try to help raise the level of those wishes. So, for example, how many eighth grade graduations have I gone to where the teacher reads the wishes of the eighth graders that they have expressed as though these are, you know, the most profound things imaginable, such as, so Jason wishes for world peace, and he wishes that everybody will be kind to everyone else. And Mary wishes that people will be kind to animals, especially horses, which we know Mary loves. And Mary's other wish is that there be world peace. Arthur wishes for world peace, and he hopes that people will be nice to each other at long last, so that there can be peace on earth. Thank you, Arthur. That's very lovely. Joanne, who wishes for world peace. Okay, come on. Is there anything else that kids can wish for? And they see that the great poets, the great writers, do not just wish for damn world peace. They have very specific wishes, very specific things, which touch in a way on the noblest and deepest aspects of the human soul. You know, every dictator in the world wishes for world peace. How far does that get them? But here we have something different. So let me, you know, give you an example of this. William Butler Yeats, writing in 1900, The Lake Isle of Innisfree. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the vales of the morning to where the cricket sings. There midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always night and day I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavements gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. Never once does he say, I wish I could go to Innisfree. I wish I could build myself a hut. I wish I could get away from city traffic. Never. But we see the deep heart's core is revealed. As Goethe said, that this is really where our truest nature is. This is where our future is coming to birth within us, in these wishes that we carry. Okay, so I gave the students the assignment then to, in Yeatsian style, write a wish without using the word wish. Here we go. I will arise and go now, and take along my skis, goggles and ski boots, bring sunscreen, lip gel carefully to apply. Then on the ski lift, from school books, lessons, teachers, finally free, I will ascend, descend, ascend again, from valley low to mountain high. Let me read that again and listen to the wonderful quality of Yeats's verse. Not slavishly so, but it just kind of shines through. I will arise and go now and take along my skis, goggles and ski boots, bring sunscreen, lip gel carefully to apply. Then on the ski lift, from school books, lessons, teachers, finally free, I will ascend, descend, ascend again, from valley low to mountain high. Okay, now of course it's, you know, humorous, and little remark there about the teacher, which I ignored, but what is really is going on here? This child senses again something from the deep heart's core. It's not just, you know, I'm going to ski and have a great time, but I'm going to ascend, descend, ascend again from valley low to mountain high. This is really an understanding which I often speak about in relationship to the seventh grader. It's a real understanding that, you know, I've been here before. I have a destiny here. I am a being who ascends, descends, ascends, descends. And, you know, and this is where my freedom lies, to fulfill my karma. So in a way, Yeats becomes a teacher for this student and really helps move forward. Okay. Here's another one of the pieces that I have in Wishes. A priest observed a poor peasant praying fervently during Lenten services. Knowing that the man was uneducated and could barely read, the priest's curiosity was aroused. After services, he questioned the man, who confessed, "Father,
Since I can't read too well, I recited the letters of the alphabet over and over and beseeched the Lord to arrange them into the words of the prayers. The priest said, "Your prayer was more acceptable than mine because you uttered it with the entire devotion of your heart." It's an old legend. So there's that heart again. So wonderfully living in this. And often we saw that wish and prayer are very, very connected. And it was interesting. It was a kind of revelation to the students. They never thought that a prayer could also be a wish, or that if a wish was a really good wish, it could be on the level of a prayer. You know, so they start to make these soul differentiations. And of course, this is a language arts block. This is about teaching children to write correctly and to go forward in their writing ability. But one sees here in this block a kind of foreshadowing of what writing courses will be like for them and be for them in high school, when so often the English teacher is really the soul of the high school. What he or she does with the students is often what they remember best and what really lives with them most strongly. Their ability to read literature, their ability to write their own literature, this now becomes a very, very important aspect of the work. So we hope that, of course, grammatically, spelling, and so on, they're at a level where all this stuff doesn't get in the way. And of course, we will see the girls again and again move light years beyond the boys. But in this block, you can find things that will suddenly galvanize even the slowest, dullest, poorest writer among the boys. Okay, so let's look at something else. Let's go on to wonder. And here one of our contributors was, let me give you first, Theodore Rettke. So I was using 20th century poetry, stuff that was in many ways way above their heads. And yet, because this is coming in a way so vibrantly out of the astral world, modern poetry, it speaks to them. Okay, Theodore Rettke, 1964 poem, "Once More the Round." What's greater, pebble or pond? What can be known? The unknown. My true self runs toward a hill. More, oh more, visible. Now I adore my life with the bird, the abiding leaf, with the fish, the questing snail, and the eye altering all. And I dance with William Blake for love's sake, and everything comes to one as we dance on, dance on, dance on. Okay, is that poetry? Doesn't rhyme, you know, so that was a wonderful discussion, what's going on there. And of course, a lot of that is just beyond them. But they were interested. Who's, you know, William Blake? Well, we're going to learn about him when we learn about the Industrial Revolution in grade 8. And we're going to learn about something called Romanticism. But I do actually have some William Blake in our anthology. So turn to the next page. And here are aphorisms. An aphorism is a way that a person tries to take something very grand, very profound, and to bring it into a very short sentence, a wise and pithy way. So here's some of Blake's aphorisms called proverbs. One thought fills immensity. The fox provides for himself, but God provides for the lion. To create a little flower is the labor of ages. Exuberance is beauty. Where man is not, nature is barren. You can imagine the discussion we had over that one. What is now proved was once only imagined. No bird soars too high if he soars with his own wings. So this led us, again, as the Rettke poem did, to a discussion of wonder. And students try to write their own aphorisms, just about the hardest thing. So here are two aphorisms that students tried. The flower that blossomed too quickly fell victim to the frost. Interesting, written by a girl who was herself a flower that blossomed a little bit too quickly, but joined our class in grade 6, and just through the influence of her peers, of the other girls in the class, in a way was saved from that frost, but was well aware how close she had come. And then a boy's interesting aphorism. I'd rather be half dead than only three quarters alive. Okay, put that one in your pipe and smoke it.